Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Ducati, there's the juice I seek, and Jake Gutierrez. Don't come at me with that weak-ass microphone. Who does that? Who had the heat on in here and a low microphone? Them's fighting words. Now I like it. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Today on the show, Mike Boddicker will be with us because Wednesdays are his days to be on the show. Also, we will talk to Andrew Brandt, Matt Derrick, and our friend Austin Bennett from the NAIA. Too late. Could have used this 3 minutes ago. So, I'm on a very tight schedule here. But thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Not a great night for the local schools that are still in action. K-State loses in the first round of the NIT against Iowa. So K-State's done. And but as Jerome Tang says, he's got really good kids, so you know. I don't know that fans love to hear that after a season-ending loss. It's not their favorite time to hear that, but it is important. You want to have good kids in your program. It just seems like that speech is always tuned out because of the timing of it, you know. Hey, we just lost. Very disappointing loss end of the season. The season didn't go as we planned, but we got good kids. And fans are like, all right. Okay. Next. But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should focus on that a little bit more. Right? Good kids.
Well, it's certainly important, like you said. Yeah. He did say there, hey, we're going to win a whole bunch of games here. He's holding himself to that standard going forward.
It'd be weird if he said the opposite.
We're not going to win very many
games.
We're
going to lose a whole bunch of games here. You know?
Does having good kids mean less now? It's basically professional sports now.
Probably.
I'm just throwing it. I don't think so, but I mean, I don't think it should, but it probably does.
You'd have to ask, you know, the individual fan. Hey, would you rather have really good kids or a really successful program? You don't have to choose. I mean, I don't know. I guess there's many examples of having bad kids and winning at a high level.
I would say that the odds are that those teams played in front of sold-out arenas more often than, or not in front of the arena, they'd be inside the arena, in front of sold-out crowds more often than the really bad teams with great kids.
I'm just saying, college amateur athletics is not what we're talking about anymore.
Well, that brings up the point about the way McCullough's getting treated by KU fans, some KU fans right now.
Well, you just is jump right into that, don't you? What happened? What are you talking about?
He's getting blasted by a certain group of KU fans out there anyway. Got on X last night, and I don't know what it is, that for you stuff, like tweets you might be interested in or whatever, and I'm like, I am not interested in these. Thank you for filling up my timeline.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to talk about K-State real quick before Nate steals the spotlight from the Wildcats.
Do they want that spotlight right now?
They just played.
You want that
they
spotlight?
Just played last night.
Yeah,
they played last night.
I think either team.
They lost at Iowa, and Jerome Tang said, "You might not like what we did on the court, but you better like what we did off the court."
Hey,
so
maybe
that's up to you. So.
Yeah, that fan that I met down at the Power and Light District was very adamant that KU doesn't get enough criticism for what he thinks was a lot of cheating. You know, in the day, felt like that was really important. So
what
maybe
he thinks, or
well,
yeah.
I mean,
or what was?
I don't know. You tell me.
I can't tell you. I'm not an NCAA investigator.
Right.
Does anybody really care about that?
Well,
you're the ones bringing up, does anyone care if they
have good kids?
Ken, well, that, I'm just asking a question. Does it mean less? Like, you know, that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it ever mattered that much in the eyes of fans. I think it matters when your team's not winning, you find out, you find whatever, hey, well, we're doing it the right way, you know, that type of thing. But when your team's winning, most people don't seem to really care too much.
Well, you know, look, we hear that from college coaches. You know, Steve Kerr, if the Golden State Warriors get knocked out of the playoffs or in the play-in round, you think he's going to be like, you know what, we got a really good group of guys here.
I mean.
Maybe. I don't know.
Coach probably usually try to find something positive to say about their guys, and if they can't say that we won a lot, they got to find something else to say.
I'm just saying. College athletics, it's not amateur sports anymore.
I think it's a fair point.
It's just not.
There is something what they say to whom much is given, much is required. You know, these guys are getting paid now. Maybe a higher level of scrutiny, whatever. I don't know. I don't think, to get to your question, Stephen, I doubt there's a lot of K-State fans that are like, well, you know what? We didn't make the tournament. We lost in the first round of the NIT, but we had great kids, so to me the season was a success.
I can't speak for K-State fans.
I can't either. But my guess would be that most of them would say, no, that's great. It's a good thing that they're good kids.
Like, for me, Mizzou went 0-19 in conference play. I'm not interested in any other facts or figures about the team.
Yeah.
There you go. I think that's fair.
So. That's the end of the story for me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hope they were all good kids.
Right.
I like Sean East a lot.
Right.
Look, you'd rather have good kids than bad kids, but also, you know.
You'd also rather win than lose.
You'd rather win than lose.
Man, yeah. what do you make of this? I saw this tweet that I shared with Nate, and I don't know if this is Nate's burner account. I can only assume it's not. Jayhawk Takeover on X.
Is that you, Nate?
It's not me.
He pointed out.
Be NATO.
And look, I didn't tweet it. It ain't. It's not me. A couple people sent this to us. You see, it's not me. That's Jayhawk Takeover. You know, that's not my burner account.
Yep.
I'd like to see your burner account.
Yeah. You want to hear this?
I do.
I don't think it's a comparison, but I mean it did like, whoa, that's interesting. Bruce Weber's first 2 years at K-State, 47-21, 24-12 in conference, two tourney bids and a conference title. Jerome Tang's first 2 years at K-State, 45-25, 19-17 in the Big 12, one tourney bid, no conference title. And what's your response to that, Nate?
I believe I responded to you that that Bruce Weber inherited Frank Martin's team, and Jerome Tang inherited Bruce Weber's team. And it's only 2 years, you know.
How many Bruce Weber players are on there? I'm not sure it's fair to have that comparison now that this is the transfer portal era.
Yeah,
you don't keep what you inherit very, very long.
That's fair.
You make your team real quick.
But he did make that. They went to the Elite Eight last year, right?
Okay.
Thank you guys.
Look, Bruce Weber's a tough guy to put your arms around in terms of his time at K-State, because there were some really big highs. They won the Big 12 twice. I'll be surprised if Jerome Tang does that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'll be surprised.
Already?
Well, look at this conference now.
Damn.
It's probably going to be harder now.
It's hard to win the conference twice. It's amazing that Bruce Weber did that.
It wasn't harder when Kansas dominated it and nobody would put up a fight?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Houston's in the league now.
I mean,
Arizona's coming into the league.
It seems like
now.
It's more open now. It seems like if you're a team, you have a better chance to win it now than in the past. It was just Kansas and everyone else is racing for second.
How much was that because Kansas was so dominant and the rest of the league wasn't good enough? I don't know.
And now the playing field's even now with NIL and transfer portal.
I think it's more difficult because there's more teams.
Now everyone can pay their players.
Whatever.
Well, they can.
Everybody could have.
Right. Back then.
Not everyone did.
Right.
Not everybody did.
Bruce Weber made it a point.
Yeah.
Everybody could have, though.
Yeah.
Right.
It's possible that K-State coaches before Bruce Weber did. And that maybe some K-State fans didn't hate that when it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my point. I think it's harder because you got more teams now and more good teams, more big programs that you got to beat. Hey, Jerome Tang could do it. I'm not saying he can't.
You just said he's not.
I'll be surprised if he does. It's hard to do. That's a credit to Bruce Weber. It's crazy that he won 2 Big 12 titles.
Yeah.
But he also had some terrible years.
Yeah. I believe he also had some real bad flameouts in the tournament.
I think both times they won the Big 12, they lost in like the first round, didn't they?
They had some bad flameouts. I think his problems were once it came to tournament time, he just.
Well, he also had some years where they finished like at the very bottom of the league, you know. So it was very up and down for Bruce. We'll see what happens with Jerome Tang, but I don't think it's fair to compare the first 2 years that much. Maybe it is. I don't know.
What do you want to compare it to? His last 2 years.
I think it's fair to compare it. It's just, you know, I think it's a short window.
Short window, a little bit of different circumstances, you know. But I don't know. I will be interested to see what happens with K-State next year. But if I'm a K-State fan, I think I'm still a fan of Jerome Tang. I mean, remember he got.
Well, I'm sure you are because they didn't make the tournament and lost in the NIT. I'm sure you love it.
That's not what I mean.
I think if I was
there, some K-State fans are not happy with what happened this year.
Yeah, but I do think they'd be.
I understand that.
Do you think they'd be? You know, I think if I was a K-State fan, I'd be happy where the program is compared to where it was when Bruce Weber was there. Put it that way.
Okay. This is a results-oriented business.
It is. But I think I feel better with Jerome Tang at the head of my program than I do with Bruce Weber.
Okay.
But I'm not a K-State fan.
Right.
But if I was, I would feel better with Jerome Tang.
And why is that?
I don't know. I guess maybe his pedigree and his upside coming from Baylor. You know, I felt like Bruce Weber. I mean, he took Bill Self's team to his players to the Final Four. But like, I think
Tang will be a far better recruiter.
Yeah, I guess that's just in terms of a program. I think Jerome Tang has a higher upside than Bruce Weber ever did. I think what Bruce Weber was is, you know, he was a pretty steady hand.
You think Tang won 2 conference titles?
I don't know. Probably not, but I do think it is a little tougher to win with more teams. And Houston being, you know, I think Houston's a real problem in this league.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, listen to you guys talk.
Houston is a real problem. Get it? Houston, we have a problem.
I didn't
this
do
guy.
That on purpose.
Well. I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll see. So what you guys are basically admitting, this is not KU's conference anymore.
Well, how can you say that when they just finished 10-8 or whatever it was in the league?
I still think they'll be favored to win it most years.
Really?
Yeah.
What about when Arizona gets here?
Look, it's going to be.
I'm asking the question.
That's a good question. It's a good question to ask. You're asking the wrong person, though, because I'm going to say it's still
right.
Kansas will still probably be favored,
but
it's not what it's
they
used
won't
to.
Win it at the same.
They're
clip,
not going to win.
It's not
17
going to be
straight,
right? But it's just not. It's not the same anymore.
No, it's not, and neither is any of the landscape of college athletics.
That's right.
So I'm looking at the year by year for Bruce.
Let's dig in here.
Well, it's just
back off, Bruce. I just brought it up just as a tidbit. I mean, you
well,
don't
so like you're like so
go in on this guy.
It's just a wounded animal.
He tied
man.
For first his first year. Then he finished fifth, sixth, eighth, sixth. You know, and so like he missed the tournament. He made the tournament his first 2 years, yep. Then missed it 2 years in a row. You know, like right now it's 50-50 for Tang. He made it once, didn't make it the other.
What did he finish in this conference? This
first,
year?
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come
Jerome
angry.
Tang.
Yeah, I don't know what to
tied for
that.
Ninth.
Tied
so
for ninth.
So
you're
going to throw out those, continue to shovel dirt on Bruce Weber. You got to be fair.
Well, in the last 3 years that Bruce was the coach, he finished 10th, 9th, and 9th.
Okay.
And that's what Jerome Tang inherited. You know, whereas Bruce Weber inherited a team.
How many players are on this team right now from Bruce Weber?
Right. But that's what he inherited, though. Don't you think it makes a difference if you've inherited, like, a good squad or a bad squad?
I don't know. Dennis Gates inherited whatever he inherited and immediately won 25 games. And then the second year went winless. I mean, I just don't. The transfer portal makes that different. It's not the same thing anymore.
I do think I agree.
You can absolutely clean house.
Yeah.
In you know, what did Oxelberger do in his first year at Iowa State?
It's true.
And then a second year.
Yeah, it's true. But I think it still benefits you if you inherit a whole bunch of good players and you don't have to clean house. And you got some guys that have already played together for a couple years. I think the transfer portal is a lot more hit and miss. We're seeing that. You know, sometimes you hit big, sometimes you swing and miss. Because you're reconfiguring the team. I just think you got to give Tang a little bit of time before we jump to conclusions on what he's going to be. And remember,
I don't think coaches get the same amount of time anymore.
That's true.
I disagree with what you're saying. It's different now, man.
Yeah, it is. I think if he has another season where he misses a tournament,
You think he loses his job?
No, but I think his seat's real hot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you go 2 years in a row without making the tournament. That's not... He's got to have a bounce back year next year, for sure.
And it's probably in the manner. I don't know. Maybe, like, he might. If you don't make the tournament and they finish bottom of the Big 12, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It was 3 years in a row of not making the tournament and finishing bottom of the Big 12 for Bruce, and that's what, you know, that was it.
Yeah, maybe three years. Maybe, it might be, you know, if he has a losing season or a season that, you know, doesn't make the tournament, doesn't make the NIT. I mean, look, making the NIT means something. I don't know what, but it means something.
Not really. To most schools, that's a failure.
I think if you make a run in the NIT, you can use it as a kind of a claim that, hey, we're headed in the right direction. You know, maybe we should.
So if Missouri made the NIT this year, you still wouldn't even...
I would not care one bit.
It wouldn't make you feel better about the program?
No.
If they went on a run and got to the championship game, you'd probably be interested in the championship game. No?
No.
Not even a little?
I don't know. The game to declare yourself the 69th best team in the nation really doesn't strike a chord with me.
Doesn't make you want to hit the celebration.
I mean, they've made the NIT.
Right, but you'd rather be there than having the season that you had this year. Of course, right?
Sure.
That's a no-brainer. I mean,
you'd
rather make the NIT than lose every single conference game.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for you.
I don't care if they make the NIT. They've made the NIT before, and I haven't watched it. I didn't watch one second of the game because, like, I don't care. I mean, that's just me.
Sure.
I'm sure for the team, it's great. For whoever, the coach is great or whatever. I mean, I don't care. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't resonate. T.J. Otzelberger took over a team that went 2-22 and 0-18 in the conference, and his first year went to the Sweet 16.
Jerome Tang's first year went to the Elite Eight.
Right. That excuse doesn't matter anymore in college basketball, what you inherit. You could totally make over the team in 1 year. Gates did it, Tang did it, and Otzelberger did it. We just saw three local examples.
Yeah.
It's different now. Wouldn't you admit that?
Yes, it is different. Yes. I still think it's...
I mean, so you're not saddled with...
Yeah.
It almost helps that you can clean house. You can come in if you got a bunch of bad players.
Maybe that's what... But it's interesting that two of those coaches had followed it up with very disappointing years. Because it's hard to keep something rolling off of purely transfers, I think.
Well, so far, Otzelberger's a stud.
He's a stud. He's got that team playing incredible defense. He's done a great job.
Right. I just think when you're in your second year, like right now, Dennis Gates going 0-18. I haven't heard one person say, "Well, Konzo Martin, I mean, look what he left him." That's not relevant.
Right.
I don't think anymore. I mean, Jake, am I wrong?
No. I mean, but it does fit the narrative that Bruce Weber did well with somebody else's players. He couldn't clean house.
Well, yeah, that was a different time.
Right. But he couldn't clean house, you know, so it's like maybe his success in those years that, you know.
I will be interested to see how it goes, but I do think Jerome Tang will recruit well. You know, I think he has recruited well. And I think that was Bruce's biggest challenge.
Right. Well,
so
I mean,
we'll see.
Bruce Cabal might have done six, you know, if he had some NIL money.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, though. I mean, it, you know, the landscape was what it was.
So why are Kansas fans all over McCullough, you said?
Well, I mean, because you see some of these tweets, man. Jarrett
Sutton, I don't know what you're talking about. I just said he's hurt, and you're like, I don't know. Is he not?
I did not see any of these tweets.
Oh, man. I don't even really almost want to call attention
to him. Why won't you answer me?
Okay,
what is
so,
the criticism?
I got
to read them verbatim.
Yeah, he does. Because I don't know what he's talking about.
I got a text from Jarrett Sutton last night. It said, fans suck. And this was a tweet from Foggy Thoughts.
What?
You know, Fog Allen.
I don't. No, I don't know that. I don't know that.
Beware of it.
I don't know Foggy
Beware
Thoughts.
Beware the fog, Stephen.
Okay?
Beware
that's,
the fog.
That sounds like something you would spend the time looking at. Foggy Thoughts. No.
Yeah. Well.
You don't look at me and say, like you know Foggy Thoughts. No, I don't.
I meant, get it, Foggy. This is a Kansas
don't
fan,
you
would think. They said, I don't think Kevin should be able to travel with the team if he's opting out like some Ohio State player in a meaningless bowl game.
Oh, stupid.
A lot of stuff like that.
Eric says, y'all going to put some context on year two for Tang, lost two key contributors. Great.
I mean, I think Naquan Tomlin thing is a part of the story, for sure. There's a lot of K-State fans that blame the administration for that, not Jerome Tang. I don't know who's right and who's wrong there.
Why would people care that Kevin McCullough isn't traveling with?
They're just mad that he's not playing. These KU fans are mad, and I don't know what percentage of the fan base
he's hurt.
I mean, if you see these, it's like read between the lines and what Bill Self's saying here. This kid quit. He quit on the team. You know, things like that. And I'm just like, okay.
Kansas had injuries. K-State lost players. Mizzou lost their two top transfer portal guys to injury. Everyone deals with issues.
Right.
Everybody got problems.
So, what are people accusing him of? Not being hurt?
Yeah, they're accusing him of choosing not to play. Like, he could play with this thing, and he's choosing not to.
Seriously?
Yes. There's a lot of that on social media, which I think is...
I mean, did they watch him on the court? Like, was it not evident, like, he was limping when he tried to come back? Like, it was just brutally obvious that the guy was not right.
That's rough, man.
I think it's gross. I mean, I think it's really gross. I hate, like, seeing it, and it's like, this is the part of fandom that is...
People.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And I don't know how many. I just, all of a sudden, I got on Twitter last night, and I get all these, you know, things popping up in my timeline of people saying stuff like that, and I'm just, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Take it with a grain of salt, man.
Well, you know what's okay? You know, if UMKC ever made the NIT, I'd be thrilled. I'd celebrate it and
something.
I'd try to go to the game. You know, I guess it depends on the program.
Totally.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be like, if you're a Kansas fan, would you like it if Kansas went to the NIT?
No.
Okay. You're a Western Illinois grad?
Yeah.
Would you like it if they did?
I would love it.
Okay. There.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And maybe that's wrong.
No, it's not. It's just how you feel. It can't
right.
be wrong.
Well. You haven't experienced Kansas going to the NIT. I've experienced Mizzou going to the NIT, and I've experienced not watching it.
I would be one of the a-holes to say, please decline that bid.
When I was doing the play-by-play for the Kansas women's basketball team, they made the NIT one year, and they made it all the way to the final. And as they started winning games, I understand it's different, it's women's basketball, whatever, but as they started winning games, all of a sudden the momentum started gathering and people started paying attention, and then when they got to host the championship game, and they sold out Allen Fieldhouse. Because it was exciting. They had a chance to win something, and then the next year I think they made the Sweet 16 in the tournament. Like, this was a building towards something. I think that's the time. Like, you know, early in Bob Huggins' era, if I remember the first year of the Bob Huggins era at K-State, they made the NIT and made a deep run.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a sign that they were going to take a step to the tournament the next year. So you could get excited about that, I think. But just like going to the NIT and losing in the first round, I don't expect anybody to get excited about that.
Yeah, like you said, it's not right or wrong. I would not be excited. If you would be, then that's all right.
If I think it's a sign, hey, we're headed in the right direction, we got some things going here, we're winning some games, you know, because, look, there are teams in the NIT that are better than teams that are in the NCAA tournament right now. It's not the pure 60, five best teams or whatever, 68 best teams that get in. There's all kinds of automatic bids, and Virginia got in, for crying out loud. My God, that was brutal to watch.
Yeah, the selection
night.
Committee thought Virginia was better than Indiana State for the NCAA tournament. I mean, I've said the last three days, Virginia didn't belong in the tournament.
Yeah, you were right.
I mean, that's anyone that followed college basketball could have told you that. Just look at the numbers. And Indiana State was a better choice.
Oof.
And then that's what you get.
I turned on the game. There's like 15 minutes left. They had 16 points.
Yeah.
15 minutes left in the second half.
Right. We will. We got lots to talk about. More basketball coming up. No Kevin McCullough for the NCAA tournament. How will that affect Nate's braggadocio?
Got him going to the Final Four now.
And in his bracket, he had Kansas upsetting Purdue and going to the Elite Eight. K-State loses in the first round of the NIT. Dennis Gates lands his first big transfer portal target. So that took a day and a half. The house cleaning has begun at Mizzou. The transfer portal's open. I talked with Mecole Hardman yesterday. All that and more coming up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How tough is that to watch a kid that has given so hard and comes back for another year not be able to do it? So, yeah. At least for the first round.
No, he's out. We're shutting him down for the tournament. So if we're fortunate enough to win two games, we would have done it without him. And he hadn't practiced in 6 weeks, basically. And so he hasn't done more damage to his knee, but he tried to do it and said that he just couldn't go.
Later on today, we're going to release an hour-long podcast with me and Jared Sutton. We do a basketball podcast called House of Hustle, sponsored by Charlie Hustle. And basically what we did is we sat down and we went through the entire bracket. Didn't go through every game, but went through the highlights of each region, players to watch, upset specials, possible matchups we want to see. And then ultimately, Final Four picks from Jared Sutton and from me. And so basically what it is tonight, it'll be out by tonight. Just keep checking out the Sports Radio 810 social media accounts. Sit down and listen to it while you fill out your bracket tonight. It's about, 50 minutes, an hour, and hopefully it can help you out. Because Jared Sutton has seen the majority of these teams and players in person through his job as an NBA scout. He's seen all these teams out west in person. He's been in all these gyms. He's been to practices. He knows these teams intimately, and so he can help you out with your bracket. And so look for the latest episode of House of Hustle later, and just give it a listen while you're filling out your brackets later on today and tonight. Thank you. You've heard Bill Self talking about Kevin McCullough. Let's hear. Yesterday, I had a chance to go out to see Mecole Hardman, my man Brad from ADA Fundraising. He does all the big autograph signings in town with different Chiefs players, Royals players, any athlete. Any big signing that you see, usually Brad is part of it. And so he's going to have some more Chiefs players as the offseason continues. But he had Mecole Hardman last night out in Liberty. Shop mosports.com. Most Sports Authentics. And a good crowd lined up to meet Mecole Hardman, to sign pictures of him catching that game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. And I was instructed by a young lady named Selena St. John that, Dad, I'd like to go meet Mecole Hardman and get a picture. And so Phil St. John also, Mecole Hardman was interested to hear that Phil skipped a class at UMKC to come out and meet him. And so he thanked him for that. And, hey, Phil's grades are good enough to skip a class to go meet a Super Bowl hero. And so I did, in between all that and before he started signing autographs for the line that was waiting to meet him, I had a chance to have a quick conversation with Mecole Hardman last night. Jake, play it.
All right, so you're out here getting ready to sign autographs for Chiefs fans.
Mm-hmm.
Caught the walk-off touchdown of the Super Bowl. What's life been like for you since that happened? That's a life-changing moment.
Yeah, it's been hectic, man. Just signing and doing little interviews and, you know, appearances like that. But other than that, it's just been a roller coaster, just trying to enjoy it as long as I can, for real.
Did you really black out when it happened? Was that for real? I mean,
yeah, I blacked out after the fact. I knew we won and everything. People was like, did you know you won? Like, I won. I knew we won, but... I guess the magnitude of the moment just got it.
Have you had any conversations about coming back with the Chiefs maybe? Is that still a possibility?
Yeah, it's still a possibility. Very, very likely possibility to happen. We still in talks, and we just got to see if everything makes sense. You know, they signed Hollywood, so that's a great addition. So I'm just trying to see what they go with it and what they want to do. So whatever Veach feel like is good, and, you know, if it makes sense, then definitely.
What do you think about that with Rashee Rice, Hollywood, maybe you, Kelce on the field at the same time? The possibilities could be endless.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of opportunities. You know, Kelce himself is enough. We're going to pat on it. Pac in the backfield. They got Hollywood Sheed. They still got Sky there, Jay Watts here there, KT. So we still got a nice group of guys there. If they want me back, man, I'm all ears for it.
How much would it motivate you to try to do something no other team's ever done before? Three in a row. It's never been done in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah, if I go back, for sure, that'd be the main goal. I know Pat emphasizes he won three back-to-back. So if they do that, man, that'd be dope. Even if I'm not there or not, I'm still going to, you know, be very, you know, amazed at it.
So last question for you. There's been all that back and forth. What did you think of Sauce Gardner and some of the stuff that he said? Because, you know, you went back and forth with the Jets. You got the last laugh. You won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're still trying to get where you guys are. So what did you think about all the stuff that he said?
Oh, no, man. I just feel like it's all he said, she said stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if everybody got their opinion, everybody can say they want to say. But so they don't do nothing to me. You know, I just live my life day by day and go about it.
So for the people that want you back, there's still a chance out there. You could still be, you know, back with the Chiefs.
Yeah, still a chance. It's not dead at all.
What do you say to all the Chiefs fans out there that have supported you through the last several years?
I love all the Chiefs fans, man. Like I said, it's like the one, if not the best, you know, fan base there is in the league. And I love everybody. You know, they always love me, welcome me with open arms. I came back, so I'm very grateful for them, and I, you know, I'm thankful for them.
Super Bowl hero, my man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Do you agree with Mecole Hardman that if the Chiefs won three in a row, it would be dope?
Yes.
Jake?
Dope AF.
Super dope. Like Sauce Gardner, the he said, she said. You know, I think it's just he said, she said.
Right. That made me laugh.
Who's the she? Okay, I get it.
What do you say about that? Nothing. Nothing about Mecole Hardman.
Hey, Super Bowl hero. That was a great conversation you had.
I'll have him back. Bring him back.
Heck yeah. Hey, man. Another guy that's happy.
Yeah, needs six receivers.
Another guy that's happy to be here that knows what it's like to win here. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd rather have him than Kadarius Toney on this roster.
Well, there it is.
What are you basing that off of?
Yeah.
I'm good.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying.
Some bad news for the Royals. Well, man, I feel bad for this kid. Asa Lacy. Last night on his Instagram, he made this post, and it was a picture of him clearly in a hospital room. Not how I thought 2024 was going to go. But God has a plan for all of us. Thank you for all who reached out with the encouraging words and prayers. I had a full UCL reconstruction, and it went well. Thank you to Dr. Ella Trash and his staff for taking great care of me today. I've been dealt a substantial amount of adversity in my career so far, and I'm excited to conquer the challenges ahead and come back better and stronger. I'm blessed to be surrounded by such a great support group, from my parents, the Kansas City Royals, to friends and teammates all over. My passion and love for this game has never been stronger. Best of luck to all my teammates in 2024. I'll see y'all on the mound in 2025. So, I mean, so much mystery around Asa Lacy and what happened to him. I mean, he lost command of his pitches. He wasn't even participating in games. It seemed like he was in extended spring training forever. It was baffling. And he was one of the top prospects, the most high, one of the most highly touted pitching prospects the Royals have ever drafted. He looked like a can't-miss prospect. And so now we find out he has Tommy John surgery. And so, look, we've seen crazier things. Cross your fingers, hope this will finally fix things. And then next year you can come back and actually have a chance to do something in the organization. But for the question of, hey, what's going on with Ace Lacy? Bloomer brought it up the other day when we were talking about Gavin Cross with his spotted mountain fever. What's going on with Ace Lacy? There's what's going on with Ace Lacy. He had Tommy John surgery, and he's out for the year. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Those of us who, well, actually, tournament teams are dealing with the transfer portal as well. I saw Alabama got someone yesterday, so they're burning the candle at both ends. But those of us who watched their teams suffer through a horrible season, our March Madness is the transfer portal. And so, step one, three players entered the transfer portal from Missouri yesterday. One man enters, three men leave. And so the one that enters, UT Martin transfer Jacob Cruz, anywhere from 6'6 to 6'8, depending on which tweet you look at. A guard or a stretch four or a small forward. All three have been reported, so everyone's locked in on this. Averaging 19.1 points per game, shooting 41% from three. So there is the first addition. And obviously, someone that Mizzou, you know, it only started on Monday, so clearly some quick conversations happened. You know, it wouldn't have started before then.
No way. No chance they talked to each other beforehand anyway.
No, sir. He averaged 19.1 points and 8.2 rebounds and 41% from three. So there you go. So as Dennis Gates looks to rebuild his roster, that's the first step. And then now everyone waits patiently for Javon Porter. He's the big get right now. Yes, there's another Porter. And he's 6'11", so. Yes, time is a flat circle. I'm back to hoping Mizzou can somehow get a Porter brother to save the program. You ever heard of that one, Stan?
And hoping that he'll play.
Well, he plays. I mean, Jonte played.
Yep.
Then he got hurt. But he's been playing in Pepperdine, averaged 16 points a game. So, I don't know what to tell you. But it's so funny that I've you know.
You ever heard of that one, Stan?
I've gone through this before. Man, I hope they can get this Porter brother.
Right.
He'll fix things. It's good that there's always a Porter brother out there.
Are there any more after him?
I don't know. But the other guy that, Jared Sutton contends he'd be a bigger get. Keep your eyes on, and everyone's going to be after him. Michigan center Terrace Reed Jr., who is a St. Louis kid, 6'10", 265 pounds, averaged 9 points a game, but a team best 7.2 rebounds in 32 games and 31 starts for Michigan. So, in need of a true big man. And trust me, Mizzou ain't going to be the only one, but since he's a St. Louis kid, you can, you know, put two and two together. But mark him down, Terrace Reed Jr.
I wrote it down.
So those are the two biggest. They now that they got this kid that's a volume scorer, they need a veteran point guard. And the two top names on the wish list would be Javon Porter and Terrace Reed Jr. The transfer portal is open.
I got your veteran point guard right here.
Right, he'll do it. He's ready to talk trash after Iowa put it to K-State. That's what Mike Boddicker's here to do. It's just, even though I'm enjoying it and following it, it is absolutely ridiculous that the transfer portal opened the day after Selection Sunday. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand it.
Oh, I do. I understand it.
But I mean, just wait.
Who's in charge?
Nobody. Yeah. Just like wait until after the Final Four set. How about that? Is that really gonna be, is that big of an issue? I mean, let things settle down just a tad bit after the tournament.
I'm by no means saying it's not ridiculous, because it is. It's utterly ridiculous. But it is completely not shocking or surprising, because who's in charge?
Like, every single analyst I see, like, why? What's the point of this? Yeah. But if you're not in any postseason play, like, okay, well, let's go. Let's get it. Right. That's right. Let's take a break back after this on WHB.